السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ومن اتبع هداه إلى يوم الدين. Brothers and sisters of Islam, in this session we'll be talking inshallah about the virtues of fasting, فضائل الصيام. Ramadan is the month of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. The month of Ramadan in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for mankind and clear proofs for the guidance and the criterion which it judges and distinguishes between the right and the wrong. The Quran, it's the only book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved. The previous scriptures, the previous books, the Torah and the Injil or the Gospel, they've been Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trusted those men to take care of the book of Allah, the clergymen, the priests and the rabbis, but they adulterated the scriptures and they changed the scriptures. But then the book of Allah, which is the last revelation, the Christians and the Jews, they have two books. One they call it the New Testament, and the other one is the Old Testament. And we Muslims, we have the Last Testament, which is the Book of Allah, which is the guidance that leads to the best way. It's the way of salvation, the way which will take you and deliver you from this life and take you to the everlasting life, the life of the hereafter, life of eternity. So this is the Book of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we Muslims believe, that it is the true word of Allah. Allah spoke the Quran. It is the true word of Allah, Kalamullah. The Quran is Kalamullah, Allah spoke it. And what will happen also, towards the end of the world, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, a night will come, a night will come, when the Quran will be taken away from the books and from the chests and breasts. People will get up in the morning, there is no Quran. They will open the books, there will not be Quran. So it is now our chance, brothers and sisters, to read the book of Allah. Because this Quran will go back, will be taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this Quran, the month of Ramadan, in which was revealed the Quran. And Jibreel used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Ramadan and to read the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the last Ramadan, he read the Quran with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam twice. And this Quran revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah spoke it and Jibreel conveyed it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's not something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it up. No, it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is indeed a guidance, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hudan linnas. It's a guidance, not only for the Muslims, a guidance for mankind. The whole humanity, brothers and sisters, is suffering. People are lost. People, they don't know the way. And we Muslims have the solution. We Muslims can show them the way by just tell them, this is the book of Allah. Read it objectively. Read the book of Allah objectively. Don't be biased. Leave your emotions away. Objectively read the book of Allah, and that will show you the way. And that will explain you what Islam is. Islam is what is in the book of Allah, and what is in the authentic traditions of the Prophet ﷺ. Not what some Muslims might do that doesn't represent Islam. Islam is, if you want to know Islam, go to its reference. Go to the book of Allah, go to the authentic narrations of Islam, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that where you will know what Islam is. So the Ramadan is the month of the Quran, is the month of the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also says in the hadith, which is authentic, and it is in Musnad Ahmad, and which is sahih, he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fasting, he's explaining to us, fasting is a shield which a servant protects himself from the fire. So it is a shield. The shield that the warrior used, Junnah. Okay? Which is a shield. that protects the fighter. So the fast protects you. The fast protects you. Because the fast, it weakens the devilish desires and tendencies which are within ourselves. Fasting eradicates and uproots these devilish tendencies which we have inside. That's why when the Prophet ﷺ, he advised the youth, he told them, fast if you cannot get married. He prescribed for them the fasting. Why? Because he said fasting will weaken your sexual drive, your sexual desire, and that's how you can control yourself. Those who are the youngsters who are suffering, so they should resort to this medical and this prophetic prescriptions that given was by the Prophet ﷺ. So fasting is a shield that protects us from all types of evils. Also he said ﷺ in Bukhari, I swear by that being in whose possession is the life of Muhammad. In other words, he is swearing by Allah in whose hand is the life of the Prophet ﷺ. He said the smell and the odor of the mouth of a fasting person is sweeter to Allah than the fragrance of the musk. You see, when you are fasting and your stomach is empty, there will be unpleasant smell coming out due to the gases that will come up. This smell, though it is unpleasant, in the sight of Allah, it is better than the smell of the musk, which is called misk in Arabic. Okay, so does this mean that we should not use the siwak in order to leave this smell there? No. That's why some of the jurists of the Shafi'iyah, they dislike that to use the siwak after dhuhr. But the majority of the scholars, they refuted that. They said the siwak and brushing the teeth has nothing to do with the smell. Because the smell is not coming from the mouth, it's coming from the stomach. Okay? So there is nothing wrong to brush your teeth even after dhuhr. Or use the siwak. The Prophet ﷺ was using the siwak before the zawal and after the zawal, before dhuhr and after dhuhr. There's nothing wrong with that. Also he said ﷺ as in Tabarani, fasting is exclusively, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, fasting is exclusively for Allah. The reward of it, the fast, no one knows besides Allah. No one knows how much you are going to get of the fast, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the reward, the price of fasting, the reward we are going to receive, no one knows but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fasting person experiences two occasions of delight and happiness. At the time of iftar and the time of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the Muslim will feel happy twice. He feels happy when he breaks his fast. I'm sure every Muslim now who is watching me, he's looking to his watch and he is happy now. Alhamdulillah, I fasted the whole day and now just a few minutes I'm going to break my fast. So you see the happiness. And a person who didn't fast the day, some Muslims, they don't fast. May Allah guide them. They don't fast. You'll see them, his face when it's time for iftar is so black and he's so sad because he didn't fast the day. But a Muslim who fasted the day, his face is so bright. And you can see the smile on his face and the happiness. That's only what the first happiness. The happiness which is greater than this, brothers and sisters, is the happiness when you see Allah. It's the happiness when you meet Allah on the day of judgment. That's the true happiness. When you are in real life, when you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you are inside the Jannah. So you will experience happiness twice. Here, when you break your fast, and also when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is in Nasa'i and Ibn Hibban, and it's an authentic hadith. Abu Umama, radiallahu anhu, said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, tell me of an action by which I may enter paradise. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take to fasting, there is nothing like it. He said, you want me to tell you something that will take you to the Jannah? Will make it easy for you to reach the Jannah? He said, yes. He said, fasting. You know, brothers and sisters, if you fast only one day for pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for showing off, but for pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for instance, Monday or Thursday, you will be distanced. You will be removed from the hellfire, a distance that will be covered in 70 years. You will be so far from the hellfire just by fasting one day, which is, we call it nafil fast or optional fast. So fasting, that will make your way easy. And we read in the history of our examples, our forefathers, the pious predecessors, as-salaf as-salihin, that they loved the two seasons, winter and summer. Summer, because it's a long day and very hot to fast. To fast. Because when they are fasting and you experience the hunger and the thirst, the reward will be more. And they like winter. Why? Because the night is long for tahajjud. For tahajjud. So the winter, they love it because the night is long, so they can make tahajjud, they can pray. And they love the summer because the day is long, so they can fast. Also, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith, which is in Musnad Ahmad and Al-Hakim as well, he said, fasting will say, subhanallah, oh my Lord, I prevented him from food and desires, so accept my intercession for him. Subhanallah. See in this hadith that the siyam yashfa'u lak. Fasting will intercede for you. Fasting, because what will happen to the deeds? Because some people might ask this question, I can't understand, I can't comprehend this hadith, that the fast, which is something immaterial, fast is something immaterial, it's not something you can touch. How the fast will come to defend me? So what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he wants something, he says to it, be, and it is. So what will happen on that day? The deeds will be materialized. The deeds will be materialized. And the fast will come to defend you. We know in the, for instance, in the hadith about the black stone, which is in Makkah, the black stone, Hajj al-Aswad. On the day of resurrection, Allah will give it a tongue and eyes. And this black stone is going to talk and witness and testify whoever kisses it or touched it. Those who kissed the black stone and those who touched it, the black stone, he said, oh Allah, he touched me. Oh Allah, he kissed me. So the black stone will speak. So it's not difficult. As you can, if man, the limited, he managed to make things speak which are immaterial. Now all these receivers and electronic receivers, who made them? What are they made of? Of the silicon. They're made of what? Silicon, which is sand, the ICs and the transistors, etc. And they convey, right? How about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created everything? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make these things to happen. So just don't question the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fasting, as it is known to many of you, was not imposed overnight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his wisdom, he made things gradual. Like how he prohibited the alcohol. He didn't prohibit it at one go. The same thing about fasting. So in the beginning, it was recommended to fast. Even when you, and if you fail to fast because it is a little bit difficult, then you can pay kafara and expiation. Then after that, Allah made it obligatory that the moment you sight the moon, you fast. And inshallah, we reach the end of this session. Until I see you inshallah next time, may Allah preserve all of you, may Allah reward all of you. And now it is question time, inshallah. Now it's question time. Yes.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You have said at the beginning of the session that Ramadan is the month of the Quran. So would you please shed some light on the importance of reading Quran during this holy month, and also what is the best way for reading the Quran?
Jazakallah khair. As I said, Ramadan is the month of the Quran. And we have to read as much as we can read and we can do during the month of Ramadan, but not in the parrot fashion. You know what I mean by the parrot? Parrot, the bird that repeats things. Rabbaga, they call it in Arabic, okay? So we should not read it in a parrot fashion. We should read it with contemplation and reflection. We should contemplate. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا Don't they ponder and reflect about the Qur'an? Or they are locks and seals on their hearts? So we have to ponder and reflect upon the book of Allah. And only then and only then you will enjoy the sweetness of reading the book of Allah. Because you find some Muslims, especially in parts of the Muslim world, they compete with each other. There is a race. How many khatma did you make? That means how many times you finished the Quran. So maybe you say, I finished it this number of times. So they are competing. But do they understand what they are reading? Ibn Mas'ud said, your aim and your intention should not be how to finish the chapter, but just reflect in what you read. You should read it at your own pace with understanding. Enjoy reading it. Even one letter, you will get 10 hasana, 10 good deeds, by reading just alif, lam, mim, 30 hasana. So enjoy reading the book of Allah. Try to get a tafsir next to it. So the ayat that you don't know, just refer to understand their meanings. And the most important thing, that you put the Quran into your life. The Quran should change our life, brothers and sisters. It should change our life, as it changed the life of the Sahaba. What changed Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu? Umar ibn Khattab, he buried his daughter alive. But the Quran changed him. So much so that when he is walking in one way, the shaitan will run away from Umar. Though the shaitan was a companion, permanent friend of Umar before Islam. But after Islam, the companion, the shaitan is afraid of Umar. The Quran changed Umar. So the Quran, which transformed the whole nomadic tribes, the Arabs, the barbaric tribes, and made them leaders and bearers of guidance, who went, just I will conclude with this one story, what the Quran did to the companions, and that is Rabi' ibn Amir. Rabi' ibn Amir, the Prophet ﷺ sent him to Rustam, the Persian leader. And Rustam, when he saw Rabi', he was short, and his sword is short as well, and shabby clothes. He said, why did you come? What brought you here? You want food, date, clothes, whatever you want. Ask. He said, no. Allah has raised us to bring the people out of the darkness into the light. And from the narrowness of this world into the vastness of the hereafter. And from the oppression of the human beings in this world to the justice of Islam. So the Quran, brothers and sisters, should change our life. And we have to implement whatever we read. When you hear, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, immediately Allah is addressing you. Leave the haram, leave riba, leave all these things. That is how we should read and deal with the book of Allah. May Allah accept our deeds, and may Allah increase our knowledge in His deen. Amen. Until we see you, inshallah, in the next section, may Allah preserve all of you. May Allah accept our deeds and your deeds. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Oh.